Well, this is called Why We Stayed. If you're here, stay. Well, welcome back to the Why We Stayed podcast. Man, I am very, very excited about this one. And the reason I'm excited is actually twofold. The first reason is because I know exactly what this podcast is going to sound like, look like, feel like, because we've already recorded it once. And we just because we didn't, you know, we missed years of getting to know each other back in the day, we felt like, why don't we just do the whole thing again just because? And so part of that's true, part of that's not. But man, I just want to welcome to the platform a guy who I've been following for quite some time, who's just making a significant impact in more than just kind of his network and more than just his region, but way beyond it. And I want to welcome Noah Heron to the podcast. Noah, how are you?
Good, Michael. Thanks for having me, man. Wouldn't have it any other way, but more than once, man. Just getting a chance to really get to know you. It's been really cool. I'm excited to be on the pod. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thank you. And hey, for those maybe that don't know your story, they maybe don't know much about your upbringing. Can you just give us a rundown? Where were you born? What was your upbringing like? All that fun stuff.
Yeah, so I was born in Lawrenceville, Georgia, so just outside of Atlanta, and we moved quickly after that to Tampa, Florida, where my dad pastored a pretty awesome church down there for 16 years. So I'm a Georgia boy at heart, but grew up in Florida for almost all of my formative years, and then
nice.
We actually moved back to Atlanta my senior year of high school, where my dad took over a church plant, and he's been pastoring that church now for about 6 years, and went to Lee University and college, and been living in Cleveland, Tennessee, which is where Lee University is, ever since then. So I was here for 3.5 for school, and then been living here for the past 2.5 after I graduated. So kind of just making my way up the East Coast, but
yeah, man.
Hopefully it stops because it's too cold any further north for me. I like the sun.
Well, dude, I am in upstate New York, and I think today was like in the 60s, and for us, man, 60 is like, thank the Lord that the sun exists. Oh, dude, amazing. Amazing. Well, one of the interesting things, now that we're in NBA, you know, finals kind of timeline right now, I mean, you are clearly the lesser known Cleveland, but maybe just take a quick 10-15 seconds to give our listeners a reason why you are the real Cleveland in the United States, man. Give us a reason.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now that the Cleveland, Ohio has nowhere near the experience of the Cleveland, Tennessee taco truck. I'm telling you right now, the taco truck in Cleveland, Tennessee is absolutely incredible.
and it's a Tuesday that we're recording this. So take that, Cleveland, Ohio, Taco Tuesday coming in hot from Cleveland, Tennessee. Well, Noah, give us a rundown too, man. I mean, it sounds like clearly your dad was a pastor growing up. You kind of got that pastor kid thing going. Have you always been interested in young adult ministry and just kind of being a part of church stuff? Or was there kind of a moment when you were being raised in the church where you weren't really believing it maybe fully?
Yeah. So, I grew up in the church and, in church every time the doors were open. But when I got into about the 9th or 10th grade, I really started to question my faith. I just had been around so many different things in church, you know, some good, some bad, but I really got to see some things that that kind of set me off to church, not to Jesus, but just I didn't have a full understanding of who Jesus was either. I kind of mooched off my parents' faith, and I was naturally rebellious, and so the combination of all those things kind of led me to being resistant towards church, and I didn't like the pressure that came with being the pastor's son at a at an influential church in Tampa and all of those things. And so really by the time I got to my senior year of high school, I had just kind of decided in my head that I wasn't going to do that with my life when I left home. And so I went to Lee University, which is a Christian school, but I didn't go there because of that. I actually went there because I wanted to play basketball there. So long story short, my junior year of college, I'd really been living far from the Lord for about 4 years. And 4 or 5 years, my junior year of college, I actually gave my life to Jesus. I don't know if you want to say got saved when I was a junior in college or rededicated my life. But either way, it was my junior year in college through a YouTube video of Pastor Judah Smith speaking a message called Jesus Turned Around that a friend of mine had sent to me. And never been the same in Jesus' name, but that's kind of my story. Just really rebellious punk and kind of struggling through a lot of things that I saw in church. And I had to have my own experience with Jesus outside of that setting for me to really begin to establish my own faith and my own relationship with Him.
Well, dude, it is so interesting that you bring up that story, because what's so fascinating about that particular story in Scripture is it talks about how Jesus is walking towards one miracle, right? He's walking towards one healing, and all of a sudden this woman kind of reaches down, she touches his garment, and then it says that he turns around, right? And his disciples, those kind of closest to his journey, they were circling around him, of course, a big crowd of people. And Jesus kind of turns around and says, "Who touched me?" And what I love and what's so fascinating about the story is that the disciples kind of almost, I imagine them being a little bit disgusted, right? Looking at Jesus going, "What do you mean, who touched you? There's people all around you." And what I love about this idea is that it's possible, like you experienced in your upbringing, it's possible to be around Jesus, but not actually reach out and touch him. That it's possible to maybe be in his presence, but not actually receive power from him. And again, that scripture goes on to say that, you know, Jesus mentions that no power left me. And, you know, just so beautiful, man, to hear that, like, even for maybe someone listening that maybe grew up in church or they had this experience where kind of the magnifying glass was on them, it sounds like you, maybe not in the way that you always imagined it being or even that your parents imagined it being, you got to make that decision for yourself as a junior in college in front of YouTube, right? Just watching some video, and all of a sudden God totally met you where you were. And what I love, man, about your story is you didn't let it stop there, but all of a sudden you decided in that moment and maybe perhaps a couple of moments after that you weren't just going to receive that for yourself, but that you needed to share that. You needed to share, you know, not just what God did for you, but what he could do for others. Maybe take us through that journey when you decided, man, I'm going to do something different for this generation, for young adults that people keep saying are, you know, too distracted, they're constantly leaving the church, blah, blah, blah. You decided to say, not on my watch. Explain that.
Yeah, I think a lot of the bitterness that I had towards church kind of in the high school and college years came from a place of feeling like the church sometimes was ingenuine and you know, saying one thing, living another way or whatever, not in the sense of like saying that we're Jesus followers and still struggling, because I believe that that's exactly who I am, and you know, I'm in an effort to look like Jesus, I still struggle, and that's where his strength is picking me up. But more so in the way of I'm wired to be all in or not in at all. And so when I accepted Jesus and I read for myself the words that he said and the things that he spoke and how he said that we were going to go and do greater things, it kind of was like, okay, do I actually believe this? Because if I did believe this, I wouldn't be sitting idly by and, watching other people be used by God. I would be stepping out in faith and in a confident faith. And so I came back to my last semester of college and, I looked around kind of at the landscape of my university, and that's really where it started, because just like you mentioned, it seemed like there were so many people who were around the things of Jesus, but there just seemed to be this this missing experience with him, this passion. This passion is really the word that I would describe as being what fueled me in the beginning. Was I just wanted people to know that following Jesus was exciting. It wasn't a routine or a ritual. Like, this is something that should be exciting us. We have something to be excited about more than anyone else. We should be the most excited people on this earth. And so that's kind of how I got into ministry. We just wanted to start a Bible study that was different, that was passionate, that people actually wanted to go to, that we cleared space for it instead of the other way around. And so we started a Bible study and quickly grew from just a few people to about 150 students that were coming my senior year. They actually showed up the second week. We had about 100 that showed up. After the first week, we had 9, and they were expecting me to preach. And at that point, I had never preached before, never done anything other than like small group setting stuff. And so I preached about a 6.5-minute message, gave every single thing I knew, every cliche, every one-liner, tweetable quote that I had in the bank. I gave it to them. It was a horrible sermon, but but that's how it started, man. We just I think there was a few of us that were in that room who had all kind of reached that same place. We were just like, you know what? Like, there's so many things going on around Jesus, but we really feel like he's missing in our everyday life, and we wanted to try to show people that that it could be different, and it was meant to be different.
Man, I love that, because, again, the example that you're sharing, right, of feeling like it's just a Bible study, feeling like, well, you know, let's see what happens. I'm not the most gifted person. I don't know that I have the most experience, but I'm going to be faithful with what I feel like God's given me. And all of a sudden it blew up. And all of a sudden, you know, you went from 9 people to 100 people, 150 people. All of a sudden the thing starts growing. And again, maybe for somebody listening today, maybe they're stuck at that 9, or maybe they're a college student that feels like they're more stuck at like 2, like they know a couple people that are, you know, kind of making that decision for Jesus. What advice might you give them, you know, maybe a young adult that's listening right now that maybe is about to head home on summer vacation, or they've already headed home at this point, but maybe they just kind of find themselves isolated and alone in their faith. What advice might you give that person?
Yeah, man, I think that community is definitely something that was created intentionally by God, and it's something I'm really thankful for. There's a group of guys here in Cleveland that I meet with regularly, and in the beginning I kind of did that. They're a little younger than I am. We kind of did that because I felt like that was what God was calling me to do as someone a little further along in my faith, maybe a little bit older. And what I've learned is that community has been so much more, in my opinion, for me. And you know, I thought that I was going to be the one that was going to be pouring into those guys, but, I'm actually learning so much from them, and just having those people that I can talk to, that I can vent to and ask for prayer with, we're just stronger, when we're together. And, I think a lot of times we get this comparison into this comparison trap, especially with, you know, social media and just the generation that we live in, where we might be in a season where we don't really feel like we're being used by God, or we don't really feel like God's plan for us is as big as other people because they're doing this and they're doing that. And I think one of the things that I try to remind myself is that there are seeds of different sizes. You know, you have a sunflower seed, which is really tiny, and then there are other seeds like a pumpkin seed that's really big, but a pumpkin, it only grows you know, a foot off the ground, where a sunflower grows 6-7 feet off the ground, and its seed is much smaller. And so just kind of putting that in perspective, it's like God might be calling you to do something that seems really small, might be a really small seed, but if you're faithful with that seed, it's going to grow into something huge. You know, God hasn't called us to be famous. He's called us to be faithful. And I think one of the smallest seeds that we can plant is simply a seed of community, and just finding a small group of people that we can be accountable to, accountable for. And I really think that God blesses that. I mean, Jesus had his community of 12, And inside that, he had his community of three that he did everything with. And those three went on to do incredible things because they had that community with Jesus. And I really think that that is intentional, and that's how we're supposed to live our lives as followers of Christ. So,
it's so good, man. So good. And I, you know, as you were talking, I just started thinking about maybe there's people that are listening that did try community. And maybe there are people, you know, maybe there are people that are listening that they had tried a small group at a church, or maybe they tried a Bible study at their local Christian college, or maybe a non-Christian college or whatever. And maybe they felt like intimidated, or they felt like they just simply didn't belong. I imagine in your guys' gathering, in your guys' college community, of course there's stories like that, right? I mean, there's stories of young adults that try a sport and it doesn't connect with them, it doesn't click with them, or they try a job and it doesn't connect and doesn't click with them. And maybe as I'm just kind of considering those listening, what advice might you have for someone that says, you know what, I hear what you're saying, Noah, but I already gave that a shot and it just didn't work for me. What advice might you kind of press in and dig in a little bit deeper to say to those people?
Yeah, I think that was something that I really struggled with in a different way. Maybe just being the pastor's kid, I always felt alone because I felt like people didn't understand, you know, what I was going through. They didn't understand the pressure.
And, sure.
I really think that the enemy tries to speak lies into our heads about that loneliness. And I think a lot of times we buy into them and we believe a bunch of things that aren't really true.
Yeah.
And so my first advice would be to give it longer, give it a little bit longer, because true intimate relationships don't just happen over time. One of the guys I meet with, I mean, this dude, if I could have told you what I thought about him when I met him, I mean, we just were polar opposite. I thought he was loud. I thought he was, just not the type of guy that I pictured myself hanging out with, but, man, this guy just would not leave me alone. He was just hungry for community. He was hungry for accountability and discipleship. And now we look up, we're 2 years later, and I would trust this guy with anything. I mean, he helps lead our ministry now. And I just think that a lot of times when things don't work right away, it's easy to bounce.
Right.
But it's in those hard relationships and consistent trying that God really can cultivate something beautiful. But I totally do understand, you know, the situations where it doesn't work out. And in those situations, man, I would just encourage you, it doesn't have to be even a small group. I would encourage you to just find one person that's a little bit older than you, maybe a little bit more spiritually mature in their walk with Jesus, that you can just commit to maybe a weekly or a monthly coffee or lunch. I just think
good.
That's so important to have somebody, and I think we all can find at least one person.
I love that, man. Such good advice. And I know, speaking on my behalf, I mean, I've got, it's so funny, the older that you get, it's like you almost want to get people that aren't just a little bit ahead. Like, you're trying to find, like, I mean, my biggest mentor is like in his late 50s, and I crave time with him. And it's right now, it's once a month, but man, it's just, as you get older, it's like, it's, you try to continue to find those people that are, you know, that are living the kind of life that you want to live, and you don't just try to go copy what they do, but you want to learn from them and grow with them. And I think that's incredible. You know, one of the things, Noah, that's always been so fun to watch with your social media is you do this thing every single day where you are posting on your Instagram story just like everybody else, but you say this phrase, gonna be the best day ever. And you say it every day. Sometimes it involves Chick-fil-A, more often than not. But maybe give us a reason. Why have you kind of clung on to that phrase, going to be the best day ever? And why do you feel the need to post that every day?
Yeah, so, that's hilarious. It kind of started on accident. Just one day, I was like, I'm just going to post this. I really had no motives with it. It was more so just trying to be positive about that day. But it's really become something that has been a personal challenge for me because, I'm naturally not the most positive guy in the room. I generally am happy and have a lot of joy and stuff like that, but I'm not, always that, motivated. But one of the things that I struggle with is I'm always looking forward to the next thing. My Enneagram number, if anyone listening is an Enneagram person, I'm a 3, which is the achiever. I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that because I'm motivated by achievements, not always what's right. I'm just trying to do more things. And because of that, I found myself looking forward to maybe something later on in the week and not being as excited about a boring Monday. And the Lord really just convicted me after I posted that, that, yeah, like every day could be the best day ever because really I was bound for hell. And if it wasn't for Jesus stepping into my life, none of these things would be happening, the freedom, the joy, the peace, the eternity that I'm going to spend in heaven. And so really it's come from a place of wanting to be filled with gratitude for each and every day. And I've really found that that gratitude for every day. Now, some days I don't feel it and I really have to talk myself into believing.
Sure.
But that gratitude has sprinkled into other areas of my life. And I really think that gratitude, even for the little things, is something that strengthens our relationship with Jesus and just makes us that much more thankful for the ways that he's moving. Jesus doesn't always have to move in some crazy big dream or event in our lives. I think he moves in the small things each and every day, and gratitude has helped me see that.
I love that, man. I think that is critical for a generation, as you mentioned, where we're constantly comparing, right? I mean, you're stuck at home, but on Instagram, someone's in Aruba, and you're like, wait, I clearly want to be where they are. And, you know, you don't see all of the hard sacrifice moments where they had to say, nope, we're not going out to eat tonight. Nope, we're going to save this. We're going to do this. And maybe even worse, maybe they do make more money than you, and maybe they don't have to save, and maybe they just can go do what they got to do. But I think if we are living in our pocket, if we are living within our means, if we are living grateful, thankful lives, I do agree with you 100%, man, that God will allow us the glimpses of not what we think we want to make us happy, but what we need to give us joy, which is eternal and continues to last for us. And, you know, speaking of gonna be the best day ever, you've got what I do believe will be the best day ever quickly approaching because you are engaged. And man, maybe share with the young adult listening, maybe there's a young girl or young guy that's listening right now that's single. Man, give some advice, share a little bit about how you guys met, like what is going on? You're about to get married.
Man, miracles happen in 2019, man. I'm telling you, I did not think it was going to happen. But yeah, her name is Maddie Perry. And we actually met through a mutual friend. I was speaking down in Miami, and he had posted a video while we were down there of me. And she messaged him asking who I was. And he was like, hey, there's this girl who messaged me on Instagram about you. And he knew her. They were friends already. And he was like, I really think you should check this girl out. Like, I think that she's your type. And I'm like, man, if she messaged you on Instagram, I don't want any part of it. Like, that's weird. You know, I was kind of weirded out. But then a few days later, I saw a picture of her. And I was like, yo, who is your blonde friend? That girl is gorgeous. You've been holding out on me. And he was like, man, you are so dumb. I've been trying to hook you up with this girl. Long story short, I shot my shot in the DMs, Michael. I went for
it.
I slid in head first into the DMs. And all I did, we talked a few times messaging, and I was going to be in Birmingham where she's from, which is a few hours from where I live. And I just said, hey, I know this is kind of weird. I know you don't know me, but I would love to take you out on a date when I'm in Birmingham, if you're interested, if you're available. She said yes, and plan on dating her the rest of my life. So it works out pretty good.
Well, let me say this. I'm gonna try to dig a little bit deeper here for the young adult listening that's single. So what it sounds like you're saying is, even though it was the DM and the whole thing, it sounds like what you're saying is that there's a young dude listening right now. Take your shot. I mean, does that sound like something worth doing?
Yeah, I think you take a shot. Don't psych yourself out. She's already said no if you don't ask. So, but to be fair, there was a lot of like relationships that didn't work. Like I was only in one really serious relationship before Maddie's, but it was a 3-year relationship where I really thought that girl was the one. She's an awesome girl. And Maddie was actually in a 3-year relationship before me. I think that one thing that I would give as a piece of advice, just from a purity standpoint, if you're listening to this and you do follow Jesus, I think if I could go back and tell myself one thing, it would be, Noah, don't get in a relationship until you feel like you are mature and ready for marriage. Because I really think that if you get in a relationship before that point, you set yourself up for a really long relationship where you're not comfortable to take the next step, and you find yourself trapped and wanting to take the next step physically, but not being able to spiritually. And that's a danger zone. And so from the get-go, I told Maddie, after we'd gone on a couple of dates, I was like, hey, you know, I'm really into you. But I'm not trying to waste time. Not that I'm trying to marry you tomorrow, but, I asked her, I said, hey, if there's ever a point in this process where you feel like there's a reason why you couldn't marry me, I really hope that you'll break it off right away, because I'm going to do the same. Just because I don't want to take away from any time that you could be having with the person you're supposed to be with forever. And so every step of the way has been intentional. We'll be married almost just barely over a year after we went on our first date.
Wow.
And I really think that that has helped us in that area. So if you're a young adult, shoot your shot, but only shoot it if you're ready for commitment and not just fun.
That's very good, man. I think even as you're speaking, I'm thinking about maybe when you started opening up. And again, if we had an hour, 2 hours, we could totally dig into this a little bit more. But you said something that I think we'll kind of end on, and that I feel like is really, really critical, not just in relationships, but with even your relationship with God or even a relationship with a church. If you are listening, and if you just recently got out of a really long relationship, or if you just have been hurt by a relationship in general, I think the majority of us listening probably have been. It is so difficult to re-engage after you've been hurt, because there's this decision that you need to make where you say, I'm going to risk being hurt again for the sake of the potential of this thing actually being love, or this thing actually being true.
Yeah.
And man, I think it's that risk phase, whether I'm talking about a church that you're re-engaging in, or a relationship that you're re-engaging in, or even a connection to God that you have decided that you want to re-engage in. There is a faith step that you need to take to re-engage not just yourself, but your future, your destiny, the calling that God has in your life. There is that decision moment. And Noah, I guess one of the final questions would be, maybe for someone that's struggling with bitterness or anger, or yeah, like I hear you, but I just don't think I got anything left to actually go jump and to give this next person. What advice might you give?
Man, that was me. That was totally me. I mean, I was heartbroken for a year and a half. I didn't go on a single date. I didn't talk to another girl. Not that a whole lot of girls were wanting to talk to me anyways, but I think that my encouragement to you would just be my story, that I was you, and now on the other side of it, man, I would wait my entire life for what I'm experiencing right now. And never in my wildest dreams would I have expected to love someone as much as I do Maddie. And I think that that's going to be your story too. I know that heartbreak is hard. I actually read something recently that said that a year-long relationship that ends in heartbreak emotionally takes the same toll on you as losing a family member to death. And I was like, wow, that is crazy. You know, obviously there's different cases for that, but I think the point of it was just to say, like, this is something like a lot more serious than people realize, and until you experience that, you don't really understand. But God understands, and you know, the crazy thing is, we have big dreams and hopes for our life, but He has even bigger dreams and hopes for our life. And I think that is encouraging to me in any season, and hopefully to you too. But I would just say, keep stepping, you know, keep growing close to the Lord, so that when that person does come, you'll be ready for that, and you'll be ready to do life together with them following Jesus. But it's coming. It's coming.
Yeah, and it's so good too, because I think even for maybe a young girl that's listening that feels like, well, dang, I don't need to shoot my shot. I'm a girl. I'm going to stay where I am. I'm going to do what I do. Like, if, you know, please stay that way, right? That's incredible. I love that. A guy should absolutely pursue you. But man, as you're talking, I'm just thinking through, there are so many similarities with the church, and how there are so many people that just feel like, I gave it my all, I gave it my best, and I guess I'll just wait and see what happens. And what I love about your story is you were so intentional, and you didn't just wait and see, but you said, no, I see something, I'm going to pursue it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But then the moment that you engaged in it, you didn't let what you used to be or who you used to be dictate what this relationship was going to be. And I think that should be the same way with the church, that if you've experienced something negative or difficult, don't walk into a new atmosphere or a new church experience and feel like, oh, well, it's the same old experience that's going to take place. No, man, God wants to give you a new life, a fresh anointing, a fresh vision. And man, I just want to kind of close with that if you're listening, and if you haven't believed God for something new, whether it's relationships or church or even just a deeper depth with Him, my prayer is that after you hear this, that you would just take 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, whatever it is, and just ask God for fresh eyes to see, for a fresh heart to receive what He wants to pour into you. And Noah, man, I'm just so thankful that you took the time with us today. I mean, you are days away from getting married, this incredible, gonna be the best day ever, the best life ever coming up for you. And so thankful, man, that you took some time with us today. And again, if you guys aren't following Noah, man, please follow him on social. It's so fun, not just to see his messages and all that stuff, but just to see his life and the way that God has continued to bless him and to bless his future. And so follow him along, like all of his stuff. And again, man, thanks so much for tuning in, and we will catch you guys next time.